I'd like to say that it's real good to be here, see everyone met out, and I would also like to mention that over the last weekend we dedicated the church up on Brindley Mountain, and most of you know about it, but it was a good service, and we're thankful to see that service. God beginning to work there, and we're awfully glad to see Sister LaVon, because believe you me, had it not been for the power of a God that is above everything else in this world, the chances are she wouldn't be here. Most likely wouldn't. I left down there and I come back, and if anybody gave me a chance, you know what I told them? I said, did anybody tell you God's not doing miracles today? If they did, they lied to you, because he still is. I even stopped at a restaurant and went in and I went back to the bathroom to wash my hands, and a black guy walked in same time I looked over at him. I said, you know, I'd like to tell you about a miracle I just saw. And I told him, he reached out and shook hands with me and said, I'm a man of God myself. I believe you. And somebody back over in the back says, I am too. There's three preachers in the restroom there talking about God's work. I used to, as some people know, I was like most people that were raised like I was. I was as racist as I could be. And I didn't even own a race car, but I was that way. And a while back, an old black guy that I did business with, and company that he worked with, I went in Ryan's restaurant on Sunday afternoon. This great big 275-pound black guy saw me, and he ran over there and hugged me, and he began to introduce me to the people, because there's a whole group there from the church, and they went to the old Burns Avenue Holiness Church. That's Huntsville. And they'd build a new church, and the black folks had it, claimed the Holy Ghost over there. And I thought, I looked around, and guess who was the best dressed folks in that restaurant? Absolutely. And guess what else? Guess who was the most friendly folks in that restaurant? They made it a point to get around there and speak to folks they didn't even know. You know why? They was glad. They was glad to say that they were children of God. I was on my way up here, and I look out the cotton fields. Boy, in the cotton fields, Brother Keith, they defoliating, and you know, they're just white now. And I can't help but think about what Jesus said. Look around you. The harvest is white, and the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers into his fields. Pray for that to happen. So what I want to do is I want to turn over here in the Word of God somewhere. There's a verse to a scripture I'd like to read. That's not it there, but I'll find it. He said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. I guess I never will forget old Brother Johnny Hudgens. Some of you know him, but old holiness preacher and a friend of mine through the years. But we went around a lot together. And everywhere I've ever been, I found people that desired some sort of office, but they claimed it. without it. And there was a couple of fellows come by, and they were just lifted up in pride. They says, "We are desiring the office of a bishop." Brother Johnny looked at him, and those of you that knew him, you knew about how he was. He said, "I could be desiring a freight train and not have it." Just because you desire an office in the church don't mean God gave it to you. But he said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, he said, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And that word don't mean what we like to apply it sometimes, you know, because a lot of people are apt to teach. They're apt to do something, but that means have the ability to do so. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house. I have seen people abuse that one verse of scripture there to the place where it was ridiculous and actually sinful. So I'm not going to change the word of God, but I am going to give you the meaning of what he meant when he said, one that ruleth well his own house. That means a man, before he can have any authority in the church as an overseer, he must be able to manage his own house. I've been getting on up years now, and I remember working on a lot of jobs. And I was sales manager for one company for a long, long time. And I found out the difference in managing and ruling, because I saw rulers come and go. But I never saw too many good managers. You see, a man, before he can manage the house of God, the worship of God, he's got to first be able to manage his own house and his own abilities and his own business at home. I want to read, brother, and I'm going to get to the reasoning behind this shortly. Having his children in subjection with all gravity. I've seen people, Sister Myrtle and Gertrude, don't want to call over too many and say you're getting old, but I've seen people that took the word of God, demoralized their children. Since Sister Gert and Myrtle sitting over there, I'll bring y'all's memory back to something. You remember when you could go to school barefooted? You could go to school, no shoes or no socks on your feet. You know what I'm getting to now. But you could not wear socks. Some guy was managing his household. You could go barefooted, you could go with no shoes, no socks at all, but you couldn't wear anklets, they called them. Just come up to your ankles. Somehow they were sinful. They will make their little children look just exactly like they thought God wanted them to look. I've seen them little holiness people's little old girls go to school with the two long pigtails plaited down their back. One of them right here. I remember my sister. Now, that didn't make them holiness. That didn't make them Christians. And that didn't do much for that high temper they had. Because I remember one time on the bus, my sister had those. You know why? Because these men that's ruling, they weren't managing. They were ruling. There's an old boy sitting back there behind my sister Cherie. Reached up, pulled her ponytails. You know what she did? She got up and pew, pew, just about laid him out. Because she is in, you know, had pretty good practice. She had a whole bunch of brothers to fight with. Now, the reason I told you that, there's a difference in managing and ruling. I was glad when I can see the kids that we have from the church at home going to school. And I tell them this, and I tell you all this, tell anybody to listen to me. Pastor of a church, the minister of a church, teacher, the elders should never have to tell children of God how to dress in decent apparel. You know why? The Holy Ghost is given you to teach you and to lead you and to guide you into all truth. All right. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Being a child and living like a child, the Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Being a child is simply part of growing up. I'm getting to you, brother. Just hold on. I'm getting there. Being a child is not being sinful. Being a child that is running wild is a reproach on the family. A reproach on mother. A reproach on daddy. A reproach. Now, I see parents that make demands of their children, and I see an awful lot of rebellious children in the world today. And I see where rebellion takes them. Gets them scraped up off the highway. Gets them sent off to the insane asylums. They have them anymore. Now they just got the high-priced people that sits around there and claims they're helping them. And most of the time, if you check on those people that's supposed to be doing this psychological work and all that, check on them, you'll find out they're just about as messed up as the kids. Raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? It means gentle admonishment. Teaching them. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. That's a new convert. A young convert. Can't be one. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons. Now, I just read about a bishop here. He says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also be first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground, pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The reason I wanted to read that was for this reason. Told Brother Greg I was going to get to him directly. That's where I'm at now. Now you are working to qualify yourself to be a church leader. Now, you see, you get as old, Brother LJ over here, Brother Johnny, Brother Lonnie, Brother Keith, it's awful late for you to start qualifying to be an elder. You see, an elder is an elder by virtue of age. An elder that does not qualify himself by the word of God to be able to direct and lead the church in the right direction, it don't matter if he's 100 years old, he's still just a foolish old man. He's still an elder. For that reason, while you're young is a time. Qualify yourself, because when you get old, you can't just all of a sudden. I'm going to talk about Brother Johnny a little bit up here, because you know I come a long ways and I can take advantage of it, because if he gets hurt, I can leave. But when he was some of you fellas' age, he was young, and the preacher got up here, and maybe he'd fasted a day or two, seeking God, maybe for Brother Johnny, maybe for Brother Lonnie, maybe for Brother Keith. Not for him. But he stood up here and he held forth the word of God to the very best of his ability. I'm just picking on Brother Johnny, but y'all can find out. Y'all examine yourself, see if he gets you too. He's sitting back there in the back wondering what I'm going to do tomorrow. Or worried about what he did yesterday. Got his mind on something else. And then God come by and he says, Johnny, now you got to face that. That's what Johnny got to do then. Man, he got to grab the Bible up, reading day and night, down on his knees praying, wearing himself to death. Lord, I can't do anything. The load's too heavy to carry. I can't do it. Hey, he'll have to get up and testify if I tell him to. I'm not going to. But I'll tell you what, he'll tell every one of you right now, I wished when the Word of God was coming, I'd have been sitting up there as close as I could. I wish I'd have been up there listening to it, and if I had to run to get some of the things taken care of that I needed to get taken care of and get me over there so I'd be qualified next time till it wouldn't hit me. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. After a while, you can't look back and say I'm still a young'un. I done grew up foolish. So boys, Let's make a pact here today. If the next time I come up here, I says, Brother Greg, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to sit down here with me and just take the word of God. Little sister over there testified. Sister, I pay attention. I might be looking off and looking down a whole lot, but I know what you said. She said these women come up out of the house. Did you know that's against the word of God for those women to be out there soliciting like that in the name of the church? That's as rotten as it can be. Y'all know that? Make sure your wife's not doing that. I ain't going to do what some fella says. You make sure my wife don't do it. She won't pay any attention to me. Listen. I'm going to read a little more in the scripture. But what I'm saying is, recently, within the last several months, you know, I used to sit down and go through my wife has this satellite, and it's supposed to be a Christian satellite, and she loves singing gospel music, and I guess it must be 50 channels on that thing. And I sit down and go through them. In the last few months, I see women that a few years ago I saw that kind in the bars, in the honky-tonks, in all kind of sinful devil dens, look the same way, twisting around, acting like it was the power of God, and God saying, I do not allow that. I do not have it. Now, beloved, no. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. I want to read a little bit right here in the beginning of the Word of God. I want you just to bear with me because, by the way, we talked about the Lord blessing Sister LaVon. It's Thursday, isn't it? Last night in the service, I saw a miracle just as big, just as great. Maybe even a little greater. I knew it was a miracle. A lot of people down there didn't even know what was going on. You know why? They had their mind somewhere. But I saw a woman that was in trouble. Bad trouble. It was a different kind. I saw a woman, I'll just tell you what it was. She was just really already in a nervous breakdown. And I saw the God of heaven come down. Took a little while. You were there. I saw the power of God come down. And sister, I knew where she was at. And I was grieved to death over it. But as God began to deal with her, and I began to see her, you see, it's easy to tell people if you've had any experience with folks having a nervous breakdown, it's easy to say, you ought to get your mind off of that. You ought to get your mind on this and that. But you tried. You just tried. But I saw a woman coming to the place where she began to surrender whatever that affliction was over into the hands of the Lord. And as she moved toward, before it was over, Brother Jim, she was on her knees with her hands uplifted, calling on God. But the victory come. You see, that's just as good a miracle as you think God's not doing miracles today. I want to read a little bit more here. Let me find something so I can stay on the same line here. I got a picture right here. Anybody know what it is? Believe you be, it stays there. I hadn't forgotten it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now you know what? I could be standing out here in the dark, and I could scream, holler, jump up and down, throw fits, and do everything I could think of, hollering, let there be light, and it'd stay dark. But when God says it, one time, the light began to shine. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do that? How did God create the heavens and the earth? First chapter of St. John, the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things were made by him. That's the Word. And without him was nothing made that was made. And John, he goes on to say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God. But the Word was when God spoke. It happened. He spoke the Word, this earth come into existence. And the world was without form. Just a rolling mass of all the chemicals and gold and silver, everything that was in the world, rock and everything else, was all mixed up with the water, and it was just a rolling, tumbling mass out there. And God spoke another word. Darkness was upon the face. It was pitch black dark. There was no light in the world. And God said, let there be light. And the light began to shine. God didn't say it two times. He didn't say it 10 times. Talking with people said they were atheists, didn't believe in the creation. They believed in what they called the Big Bang Theory. You know, I can get along with people that, like that. You know why? I can say, well, sure, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said it, let it happen, and bang, it happened. There it is. I remember talking to some about it. I said, are you saying there was nothing out there at all? There was just nothing? And all of a sudden, this world come into existence? Now this is your educated, foolish people. That's what they believe. I said, well, explain to me something. I can't understand, but was there no energy at all in the world that caused this big bang? Well, there was some energy out there. I said, that's what I call God. God had so much energy, he said, just told it to come into existence and spoke it, and the world come into existence. And it was dark. He just spoke the word, let there be light. There was light. I want to go and read a little bit more here. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. You see, it was dark first. And God said, let there be a firmament. Say it again, God said it. in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now what's he saying here? He made a firmament up there that he called heaven, and he separated it, and he put as much water up there as he did down on the earth. Now, why in the world did he do that? Because God is all-knowing. And he knew after a while, I'm going to have to open the windows of the heaven and let that water come down here and destroy this bunch of people. He already had it fixed. So don't feel like he hadn't got it fixed what he's going to do next. It was so when God called the firmament heaven and the evening and the morning were the second day, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and together and together the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs, yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. You notice God simply said it, it happened. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. You noticed up until now, everything God said, it happened, and everything God said was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day, and God said, let the water bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I might just take up a second or two here with after his kind. After his kind. You know, your cat and your dog don't ever mix. Your cow and your horse don't mix because they're a different kind. An old buzzard. I noticed we were up in the Grand Canyon a while back. And man, way up yonder, higher than Brother Keith flies. Because I know if you're up there on top of that thing, you done just about run out of air. And away on up there, there was birds flying. They looked like it was about this long. I thought, man, how in the world are those things staying up there? But actually, they have a 10-foot wingspan. They're supposed to be, they just almost was extinct. The government got to breeding them in captivity, and they got a bunch of them going again. But you see, they won't interbreed with the other kind. And that's the reason when the time comes for them to die out, they die out. God created them after their own kind. All right, let me go. And God created great whale. Oh, let me go down a little further. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts. Of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let us make man. How? Let us make man in our image. Now, have you got any idea what that meant? He said, let us make man. Who? Me and my word. How are we going to make him? In my image. Do you know what it is to be in the image of God? Some of these ladies has got a little mirror in their purse, I'm sure. If you hold that up and look in it, what do you see? Somebody said, I see myself. No, you don't. You can break the mirror and it won't hurt you a bit. You see an image of yourself. You see a reflection of yourself. Now, what is God? What does the word say God is? God is love. How do you become an image of God? You reflect love of God in your life. Can't do it any other way. Why? Because God's invisible. You can't look like him. He is invisible. But we're going to make him in our image, in and after our likeness. God is love, and he wants us to be God-like. Like him and reflect his love. And let them have men. You notice he used the plural there. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now you notice something. When I make this man, he's going to have authority over everything I've created up until this day. Remember that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, I'll take up time right here. Do you know the most subtle and seemingly the most intelligent being there was upon the earth at the time God says, I'm going to make man? He was called a serpent. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given evergreen herb for meat. And it was so. And you notice something. Their fruit Whatever grew on the trees, on the herbs, was their meat. Nobody ate beefsteak. Nobody ate pork chops. Nobody ate fried chicken, because there was no death in that garden. You see, death hadn't come yet. You didn't eat live things. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was not just good. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished in all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. Now I want to tell you about the serpent. He goes on to say he was more subtle than any other beast. You know what the word subtle means? It was an old black guy explaining that to me one time. Of course, he was telling me about himself, and I just put him in the place of the serpent, and I had it right. He slipped around, act like he's looking out there somewhere, but he's listening to every word that you're doing. You boys got business, got some of them no account working for you? You know who it is, if you have. I mean, I'm not slandering anybody. But they might be over there just working like crazy, but they know exactly what you're talking about over there. They know more about your business than you think you know. He was subtle. He was the most wisest thing. He walked upright like a man. And he could talk. But God had just spoken him into existence. And now he gets over there and he witnesses. In his subtlety, he actually witnessed God forming a man out of the dust of the earth. Now he didn't just speak you and me into existence. By his power, he formed this man out of the dust of the earth. Now, after he got him formed, he's still just dust. What did he say? For dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. He was still just dust of the earth. But God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man become a living soul. And the serpent saw that. And all of a sudden, there's a new kid on the block. God had said, you're going to rule over the serpent. You're going to rule over the cattle. You're going to rule over the beast. You're going to rule over the whales. So what did the serpent do? He lent his body to the devil. I'm not going to take up the time to tell you where the devil come from. Because I'll tell you how I found out. I'm laying on my bed 2 o'clock in the morning, and somebody had come along with a false doctrine, and I'm laying on my bed praying over it. I says, Lord, you told me that if I would ask you, you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of him who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he'll have it. I said, I'm asking you, give me understanding of this. The Holy Ghost said, that'd be real nice, wouldn't it? You laying up here in a nice warm bed. All you got to do is just ask, and you can have the wisdom of God. What did I tell you to do? I said, I know what you told me to do. You told me to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got up. I went into my little desk. I looked at the clock. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. You never forget when God deals with you. I opened up the Bible, and I still didn't know a thing about what I was looking for. I opened it up and laid my face down in the Bible, and I said, Lord, now show me how to study. I wanted to know where the devil come from. Before daylight, I knew where the devil come from. Maybe I'll wait some other time to tell you about that. Let y'all find it out for yourself. I hope you had to do the same way I did. You'll sure remember it. Now the devil, having been cast down out of heaven, barred the body of the serpent. And this is what he did. Now y'all listen to me. Here's this man and woman in the garden. I often wonder what Adam was doing. I got an idea, he's over there watching the birds in the tree, wandering around out there, finding him a cool spot out there under a shade somewhere, and taking a nap or something. But that little wife was standing over there, and here come a serpent sidling up to her. You know why he come to the woman? Because she was a weaker vessel. You know what he said? Yea, have God not said that you can eat of all the trees of the garden? Now here's a little old woman, and I want you to get this picture, how ridiculous this seems now. Standing out there, buck naked, not a stitch of clothes on, just as innocent as a newborn baby, preaching to the devil. You wonder why I tell you a woman that stands up and presents herself as a teacher, meddles into the affair of the church, tries to tell the eldership of the church how to do things, is not of God? You wonder why I do that? Because God don't tolerate it. But she begins to teach the devil. Now why did number one is, where in the world's Adam? He caught the woman by herself. He likes to do that. She says, we may eat of every tree of the garden, fruit of every tree of the garden except the tree that's in the midst of it. And I want you to listen, this is the first time anybody ever added to God's word. This woman out there in the garden added to the word of God. He said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it. God didn't say neither shall you touch it. But you see, said God, she said, lest you die. Now listen to what the devil said. You shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. For God did know that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall become as gods, knowing good from evil. Now I want you to think just for a moment. He began to promise this woman, the devil began to promise this woman life. If you eat of this tree, you won't die. You'll be wiser. You'll be like God. Guess what? When Jesus says you are of your father the devil, when he speaks of a liar, he speaks of his own, because he is a liar and the father of a lie. When did he become the father of a lie? When he introduced that first lie into the world. And he promised that woman right there, he promised the woman what she already had. That was everlasting life. He promised her that she would be like God, which she already was. But if you will just do what I tell you to do. You see people out here promising folks that they can be a child of God and commit sin. They are following the man or the spirit that introduced the first lie into the world and made him the father of a lie. The woman was already like God. The woman already had eternal life. And to show you what a liar he is, Just drive around and think about this earth would be a continual cemetery for all the people. It was just spread out across this country that has died because of that transgression. You see, the devil got a little envious, and he lent his body, or the serpent, and he lent his body, brought the curse upon mankind. Now, what I want to say about everything I've read, everywhere God said it, it happened. How many times does God have to say anything in His Word for us to understand we either obey that Word or we pay the penalty for not obeying it? All these women that are on television twisting and squirming and jumping and claiming all these great powers, how many times does God have to tell them, I don't allow you to do that? I could read it to you, but I'm not going to. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. I don't allow that in the church. I don't allow it. Then who will try it? Children of God, who will try it? Young men, when you knelt down and you said, Lord, I'm turning my life over to you, that don't mean just as long as things go well and I have my way. That means if I'm like Peter. You know what Peter told Jesus before he received the Holy Ghost? He said, I will die with you, but I'll never deny you. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. So he denied him. People try to drag that over and justify falling away and coming back and all that. There's no such thing. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Death was his worst enemy. But beloved, when Peter received the Holy Ghost and God put within his trust the gospel of the kingdom and called it the keys to the kingdom of God, then when he went out, history tells us they crucified him with his feet upward. I was talking with this black preacher a while back down in Dothan, Alabama, and he was talking about their pastor had messed up and all that. Oh, what a big awful mess it was. But he says, you know, if God forgives him, we'll have to. I says, that might sound good, but I'm going to tell you what, if that was your wife, he'd take me away and run off with, you'd be talking different, wouldn't you? I said, you know what you'd say? He says, what's that? You'd say, I'm going to kill that so-and-so. He said, yeah, but says, if God forgives him. I said, listen, if a man has been born into the family, or a woman, into God's family, which is his church, it's called the body of Christ, if he is born into that church, that family, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God said it's impossible if he falls away to renew him again under repentance. You know this man is supposed to be a pastor of a church? And he said, what did the Bible say that? I said, turn over there to the 10th chapter of Hebrews and open it up to the 26th verse. He flipped it over there, grabbed his Bible and flipped it over there, scared him to death nearly. Now go over to the 6th chapter of Hebrews. He says it's impossible to renew them again under repentance, and they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. He goes on to tell us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. God doesn't play games. That's why holiness people are a different people. That's when those that live for God live a different life. That's why, brother, when I turned to God, I was just as rotten as I could be. I'm glad to see you, though. But I'm going to tell you something. For 3 days and nights, I sought God. I tried to receive God. For 3 days and nights. On the fourth night, now I didn't stay up all night. I didn't stay awake all night. Don't want to make anybody think I did. But when I woke up, I was seeking God. And when I went to sleep, I was seeking God. And on the fourth night, I knelt down again. And this time, I said, Lord, I'm ruined. I have done everything I can do, and I'm ruined because I'm still lost. I was still looking for a place that enlarged itself without measure. For one purpose, and that's to consume all the people that's going to spend eternity there. And I began to battle Satan. And Satan spoke to me and says, what are you going to do if this or that happens? You can't live like these people say you've got to live. Up until then, I'd begin to try to figure out how I was going to handle everything and do it right. But then I realized, boys, I couldn't do anything right. This is one of the reasons I know, Sister Myrtle, how real the salvation is. Because you know how I was. I couldn't behave myself a week to save my life. I try sometimes. I would literally get ashamed to get around decent people. Couldn't look them in the face. I'd look down at the ground. I'd look up down there. Well, watch a bird over yonder on a limb somewhere. Any way in the world just to stay away from them. The fourth night, as I was crying out to God, I said, Lord, take my life. All I want you to do is save my soul from eternal damnation. Take my life and show me what right is. And for the rest of my life, I'll do it. That's all I want you to do. You don't have to figure anything out anymore, brother. Had people come up and offer me just about a fortune if I'd do something, and I'd sit there and thought it over a little bit, and I said, uh-uh. They said, we got our lawyers, and they say it's perfectly legal for you to do that. I said, if I got to ask a lawyer what's right, I'll quit. Beloved, if you turn your life over to God and you become a servant of God, you don't have to worry about it. He'll lead you into all truth. Boys, I would like to be able to come up here next weekend and say, Brother Lonnie, sit down here and give me step by step what it's going to take for a man to be a child of God. And I'm going to argue with you. Because I know the arguments, believe you me. I've had them up one side and down the other. Brother LJ, listen, he can tell me. And he probably put me up a better argument than anybody else in here. Because he's heard them. But what I'm telling you is, brethren, be established on the truth. The truth will make you free. I want to thank you for listening. I feel so badly that I can't be up here more. But there's a lot of places I need to be. And God just makes a way for me to be where I ought to be when I ought to, and I'm thankful for that. But this I want you to do. I want you to seek God. Learn when to speak and what to talk about. I had somebody gave me a recording where one of the old-time holiness preachers, Brother Miller Guffey's grandfather, old Brother Will Guffey, friend of Aunt Dee and Uncle Walter and all that way back yonder. But a little group was having service over in California, and he and his wife sang them a song and sent them and recorded it and sent them a tape. And I want to tell you what he said on there. Just a few words, just an ancient old man sitting there. But he says, "Find your place and stay in it. Find your place, stay in it." Guess what? If we don't, we'll be burned eternally. You all pray for me, I'll get out of the way.